Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Untangled, Unraveling the Lies Religion Tells Us About God and Ourselves. I'm Lauren Rosser, and I'm back with my friend David Fredrickson. Hey, David.
Hey, Lauren.
So, how is life over in California?
Oh, it's good. It's actually a sunny day today. We've been having a lot of rain, which is good, which we need badly.
You need that.
And we'll return tomorrow, but today it is sunny.
Wow. It's cloudy here. It was beautiful yesterday, but now it's cloudy. Mm. So I'm sad. No.
Well, I have some special pills for depression now.
Do you? Okay. Hey, you know, maybe if we use those, our podcast can become extra happy.
Yeah. I'm already up.
They'll go, hey, you guys don't make any sense, but you sound really happy. But hey, you sent me this article over earlier this week that, or I guess it was a couple weeks ago, that we wanted to talk about because I think it really hit some pretty heavy points that that are worth talking about. Okay. The title of the article, it's in, is that Salon Magazine?
Yeah, Salon, news, politics, kind of thing, entertainment, live, business, whatever it is, sustainability, motivation, it says. Yeah, Salon, I guess it's the name of this thing.
Yeah. I always thought it was a hair thing, but...
I did too. But I'm going to say they sell anti-depression pills.
Yes, exactly. But the title is, Donald Trump is the bloated narcissist the Christian right has been searching for all along. It says Trump is resonating with evangelicals to the tune of 20-30%. It's not as odd a marriage as it appears. One of the questions vexing the mediocre punditry of American discourse is how Donald Trump, a former star of the tabloids with a track record of scandal and little history of religious affiliation, is polling so well with evangelical Christians. Poll results vary, but Trump consistently has 20-30% support among Christian conservatives. The numbers are impressive considering his opponents include Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee. Recent reports indicate that many evangelical leaders are uncomfortable with Trump's candidacy, but the most recent national poll has Trump at 24% among white evangelicals, although Cruz has recently pulled ahead of Trump in Iowa, thanks in part to the evangelical vote. But Trump and America's religious right are not as different as one would think. If any corner of the American Christianity encourages narcissism, it's conservative evangelical Christianity. One of the oddest traits of many deeply religious people is their self-professed humility, even as they claim to understand the plan of the creator of the universe, as well as their own special role in its development. The late Christopher Hutchins perfectly summarized the brand of arrogance that wears the mask of modesty. Don't mind me, I'm only on an errand for God. Despite the attempt religious believers often make to monopolize morality, it turns out that teaching children they are the center of the universe is not healthy. A large study recently published in Current Biology found that the more religious the child, the less likely they are to behave altruistically with peers. In fact, religion in children correlates strongly with selfishness and mean-spiritedness. In the study, children were given stickers and instructed to share them with their classmates. The religious children shared far fewer stickers. Of course, religion-affiliated charities like food banks demonstrate that the influence of faith is, like most things, complex and contradictory. But the Christian right in America has a long history of encouraging narcissistic intolerant ideology. Trump, meanwhile, is the rock bottom of Republican decline from a political party with a coherent policy agenda to a loosely connected network of nativists and extremists. The party's loss of credibility is the predictable outcome of its transformation into a vehicle for the self-promotion and theocratic advocacy of white evangelical Christians. In order to appeal to evangelical voters, candidates like Carson and Cruz have to project narcissism and selfishness. They do it very well. But Donald Trump is a demagogic master of it all. Having perfected his personality through years of reality television performance, Trump is able to successfully sway evangelicals to his side, despite his lack of Christian credentials, because narcissists take comfort in each other. His mean-spirited attacks on minorities, disabled reporters, and women who disagree with him do not subtract his support. Quite the opposite. It actually makes him more appealing to those who, like the children in the study, believe that they are special and that those who are different are inferior.
Mm. Yeah, amazing. And that's only half the article, but wow. You know, I've actually written some blogs kind of along that line. Haven't really gotten any comments.
Interesting.
You know, thought I'd at least get some people mad at me, but very quiet.
But, interesting.
You know, what a, you know, you just have to say, you just have to say, I mean, you know, people are going to hear this and say, yeah, here's a non-Christian, an atheist or whatever, probably, you know, writing this thing. But you know what? It is full of truth. It is full of truth. I mean, you know, anybody that would try to stand up and defend it, their position against this, can't really see the reality of what's happening here, you know, because that's exactly what we see. As soon as I saw that, I don't know, it was months ago that I realized that it was the evangelical vote or the evangelical support that are his greatest undergirding of anybody. I'm just going, wow, what an exposure of where so many evangelical Christians are at. What an absolute exposure of the Christian religion as a religion.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know. There's so many points we can talk about in this, but it's sad, you know. And you don't want to sit here and crow about it, you know.
Right.
It's a very sad thing, but on the other hand, we have to realize, you know, what, how is this representing Christ? In no way at all, and that's why, you know, I've said in the past. And I think some of my friends, even that are out of the box, used to think I was pretty extreme. And now I'm hearing them say the same thing. But, you know, I've said for a long time that the Christian religion, as a religion, especially the evangelical Protestant Reformation, you know, religious Christian religion, is Antichrist, totally Antichrist.
Right.
You know, because Antichrist, of course, the more literal meaning is substitute Christ. And so anti, against, because you're a substitute for, you know, and that's exactly what you have in evangelical Christianity so often, is because you have something that has the truth that Christ is supposedly central to its teaching, to its is supposedly foundational. And yet, and so there you have the truth, and then it's surrounded by all of this thinking that absolutely contradicts what Jesus stood for.
Right.
Contradicts his teaching, contradicts his life, contradicts his prayer, everything. And
yeah.
You gotta say, whoa.
Well, and I think that gets in there because what this whole movement proves of people moving politically towards positions that are clearly not in the way Christ would function, that are not loving, that are not that way, what it shows is two things. I think first it shows that American ideology has gotten into the body of Christ. You know, that people are thinking that Jesus is not Lord, even though people say Jesus is Lord, which means Jesus is Caesar. You know, it means he's the Lord of all. It shows he's really not, that American ideology has been merged into and confused as being on par with the kingdom of God. And the second thing that I think has happened is, and I think this is the bigger one and why that the first one happened, is because people don't interpret the Bible through, like Wayne calls it, the Jesus lens.
Right.
Where they don't start, when they approach Scripture, when they look at Jesus, they don't start with Jesus. they start with what is God like, and Michael Harden has shared this. You know, people, it's like you have a bag and you say, what is God like? And then you just start grabbing all these adjectives. You know, he's all powerful, he's almighty, he's just, you know, and you just start throwing these things in this bag and you go, here's God. And where Jesus is the exact picture, the exact representation of who God is. But what people do, and has made the way for this, is they'll go to the Old Testament and they'll take these various warring scriptures or things, you know, genocidal scriptures or the law being given or, you know, the Jewish law and all these different things, and they kind of mash those all together and come up with this picture of a warring, violent, prejudiced, divisive God. Right. That's nothing like Jesus.
Exactly. And the thing is, when you come up with contradictory thoughts or themes, you know, which much Christian Reformation doctrine does, in other words, you have an angry, wrathful, vengeful God who hates his enemies, and then you have a loving God who forgives, you come up with contradictory themes. Okay, so what are you going to do when there's a contradiction? Well, if you're religious, if you're in your mind or you're misled to believe what you were talking about, that America represents, you know, what a Christian nation should be, or its founding fathers anyway represent,
yeah,
what a Christian nation should be, then what are you going to do? You're going to choose what goes along with human nature. That's what you're going to choose. And human,
yeah,
nature is, you know, get those bad guys. Christian, you know, human nature is violence. I mean, that's just bottom line. Without the transformation of Christ in our lives, then that's what human nature naturally does.
Right.
And so what happens then? But here's the bottom line deal. It's like it all has to do with love. Okay? I mean, I know we always get down to that in the podcast, but God is love. And, you know, if you contradicted this one particular concept over here and one particular concept over here that maybe wasn't really foundational or that important, it wouldn't be a good thing, but it wouldn't necessarily be that destructive. But love is the essence of God. And what this does is bring it down exactly to what this article's saying, narcissistic, intolerant ideology, which is basically the very opposite of love. Selfishness, as we know, it's not hate. Hate is not the opposite of love. Narcissism, basically selfishness, is the very opposite of love. And so here you have a whole religious group where the ideology is the opposite of what supposedly the religion was founded on.
Right.
And that's going to affect everything else, all the rest of the thinking. As far as violence, you know, as far as who's the enemy, how you treat the enemy, everything that people get involved in, even in politics, is determined by that bottom line ideology. And in this case, that bottom line ideology is the opposite of love.
Yeah, and I think a big reason on the political scene why this has been happening is in the, I mean, let's just be blunt, most evangelical Christians vote Republican. You know, they vote on the right. And there has just been this intense hatred for President Obama and for the left. And it's hit this point where I remember when Romney was running, one of the things that people were getting really mad at was they wanted him to really stick it to Obama. They wanted him to really just unload on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And people were mad because he's not unloading. You know, he's not really saying what they're thinking. You know, and then when and now what's happening with Trump is, it's interesting, is that, and the other candidates, the ones who are pulling ahead are the ones who are really going out guns blazing. They're
right.
They're really letting them have it. And what it is they're echoing what they're already feeling inside.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling angry, they're feeling frustrated, and they want to, you know, I'm seeing all these posts all the time on Facebook and stuff. They want to tell him off. You know? And that's what he satisfies that itch. Just like, you know, revenge flicks, you know, do or whatever, you know, they scratch that itch inside somebody, you know, for justice or something. It's like, that's what Trump is doing, is it's like, he doesn't care what anybody says. He gets out there and just says it, and doesn't matter if it's hateful or whatever. And I do think that some of it, I think there's this thing that it's not all just because they want to hate, you know, that they want to be hateful and stuff. I really think that there's this thing that they see the media as their enemy. The evangelical Christians for a long time have had this hate relationship with the media, and I work in the media, so I'm very well aware of it. And they love seeing a candidate who basically knocks down like the news reporters and the people who come around and, you know, and do that stuff. But like you said, it has to make a stop and go, whoa, wait a minute here. You know, this is a very sobering thing to realize that you're willing to look at somebody who, you know, is all the things that evangelicals say is bad. They Trump couldn't qualify to be a pastor in most of their churches. You know, no. As far as his marriage records and things like that. And yet they're going, he's the man to be the president of the United States. And yet on character alone, you know, he's not a man of character.
No.
And that's where I sit there and go, so you're willing, it shows the level of hatred that you're willing to throw out everything that you claim and have even gone after people about as far as character. And said that they're, you know, they're not good people and torn into people and judge people over these things. And now when somebody comes along who's running for president, you throw that book out and say, oh, no, he's just fine.
Yeah, yeah. I got to read this paragraph here. It says, having perfected his personality through years of reality television performance, Trump was able to successfully sway evangelicals to his side despite his lack of Christian credentials because narcissists take comfort in each other. His mean-spirited attacks on minorities, disabled reporters, and women who disagree with him do not subtract his support. Quite the opposite. It actually makes him more appealing to those who, like the children in the study, believe they are special and that those who are different are inferior.
Wow.
I think this whole thing of, you know, we are right and the us, them, you know, we have the truth. This whole kind of thing, and it's so sad because it's so warped, because it's gotten to the point, and a lot of people listening will probably get mad at me for saying this, but it's gotten to the point that the liberals are on the right side more now, regardless of what their, you know, their policies are, whatever, as far as their attitude, you know, as far as what they're for and against. You know, they more represent, they would be better representatives of Christ than these evangelical narcissists.
Well, yeah, because what's happening on the right, which has me greatly disturbed, is scapegoating. Scapegoating like crazy, of taking these different groups of people and alienating them and ostracizing them and demonizing them. And that is everything that is exactly the opposite of who Jesus is. It's not just, hey, this is politics, you know, let's talk politics. Jesus went to the woman at the well. He went to the Samaritans. He stood up for the outcasts. He stood up for the tax gatherers and the prostitutes. And every Christian out there would be nodding their head. Oh, yes, yes. Well, hello. Bring that into your reality. You know, this isn't, it's like, it's sad because I think Jesus has become the Jesus we talk about who walked among us has really become like a childhood story, that it's like it's this nice story, this moral tale, but it's like lost the power and the reality of it, that he was showing us, this is who God is, this is the way that I am. And then we wonder, you know, why is it people aren't being drawn to Christ? And, well, they're not being shown Christ. People say they reject Jesus. No, they're not rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting your crazy scapegoating beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's it's amazing when you hang on to doctrine, you know, that isn't translated into transformation of your own life, then you're going to go down all kinds of roads that are opposite to Christ. And you consider the fact that Martin Luther, you know, being such a father of the faith among evangelicals, you know, made the statement, transformation is nothing. All that counts is doctrine.
Oh, man.
He actually said that. He said, those aren't the exact words, but that was the exact meaning. He said, and so basically what happens then, you get the right doctrine and everybody else is wrong that doesn't have it.
Oh,
Instead of
man.
What Christ, the whole thing was transformation. What good is any piece of your doctrine? I don't care what it is. I don't care how foundational it is, that Jesus is God, that, you know, the scriptures inspire. I don't care what your doctrine is or what you believe. If you're not living it, if it doesn't transform your life, you would be better off believing some other religion that had an
Yeah.
impact, that had an impact on your life. You know,
Right.
something that was just Bible-less or whatever, and just said, you know, the best thing to do is reach out to other people. You would be better off to have all of your doctrine, you know, a myth of some kind made up, but where the result was reaching out to others, you would actually be better off. And but see, that was not, that has not been taught in the foundations of Protestant Reformation Christianity.
Right.
And so that even comes up. That's like the roots of it way back there. And so then you have the misconception, as you brought out earlier, that, you know, it's like this is a Christian nation, which, you know, none of the deists or whatever who it was never supposed to be. There were some principles, yes, that they took from Scripture, but it was never intended to be a Christian nation and is not a Christian nation, obviously. And if it was, how could Trump represent it? You know,
Right.
so your thinking becomes so skewed if that's where you're writing, if that's where your foundation is in your doctrinal beliefs, and that don't equate or translate into transformation, then how are you going to be representing Christ in any way, in anything? You know, I would see, and I'm sure lots of conservatives will say, well, he probably used onions or something. I don't think so. It'd make too big a smell. But, you
Right.
know, when Obama was weeping up there, I don't care about what the policy is, whether, you know, of whether, you know, aliens should not be allowed to come in, or what, you know, whatever, or what adjustment there is of that. The point is, this guy that everybody hates so much had compassion. And he's standing up there weeping, not being able to, you know, tears rolling down his cheek, not a fake leap. I mean,
Yeah.
unless he's a real good actor, you couldn't do that. Tears rolling down your cheeks and eyes and for a long period of time. It's like, you know, at least he has compassion. I can't imagine Trump shedding a tear over anything
Yeah.
unless he lost a huge part of his, you know, most of his money or something, maybe.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, that's a bad judgment. Who knows? There might be something that might make him weep. But obviously, the way he comes off and the way he criticizes it and everything, people, I haven't at this point seen 1 ounce of compassion. So I can't say that it's not there, but he certainly has not demonstrated it
Well, and that's
in any
one.
way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that really broke my heart when Clinton was president, was that I remember reading this article, and I believe it was Billy Graham who was meeting with him, and he was right after he got elected, and I voted for you know, Bush, not Clinton, so this isn't, you know, me being on like the Clinton side, and he had read to this minister, I do believe it was Billy Graham, met with him in the Oval Office shortly after he was elected, and read this passage about about King David shepherding the people of Israel, you know, having a heart for the people and being a wise leader and, you know, and having a heart for the people. I can't remember exactly the scripture, but something about him shepherding the people of Israel. And Clinton teared up and said, I want to be like that. And when I read that, I was deeply moved because I realized this is a guy who has a moldable heart. And I feel like the church greatly failed him, failed him. Because I actually believe God put a man in there who, contrary to what we say in all the political craziness, I think he was kind of a blank slate. And I think he was open to be swayed by the Spirit of God the way that God would have him go if we had the heart to love him and support him as he needed. But instead, we took this, he's not my, I didn't vote for him, he's not my political guy, and took this like real hateful stance. And Clinton was really the first president, at least in recent years, where that came so strong, where that's when talk radio launched and all that was, I mean, it started in like 88, really like Rush Limbaugh and those guys really took off in the end of the 80s. But it was the Clinton presidency was the first Democrat to take office. And he was just being blasted by Christians. And then when he had his moral failing, it was just, you know, he was just steamrolled because now's the chance to destroy the guy. And I think that that just shows where the church's heart has been so missing what has been right in front of them. And then, you know, and then they vote in their guys and they think everything's great. And then, like you said, there's just this callousness that's there. And that's, I think, even why as believers, Jesus is supposed to be Lord. Jesus is supposed to be our president and be our governor, you know, be the one who we follow, because we can't let ourselves become biased about who's in office and look at the labels and the titles.
Right. Yeah. They mean nothing. You know, I remember a few years ago, you know, because we'd typically, you know, identified as conservatives, you know, and voted as Republicans and so forth. And I remember several years ago, we were watching TV and there was a program. It was kind of like a documentary, and you know how they interview people and all that stuff. And it was these two people working together in the dumps of Mexico. It's called the dumps because people live actually on the dump, and they get their food and everything, you know, sorting through the garbage, and they just live there. And it's a large area. There's lots of places like that, but this is a great big area, and it's just a whole area they call the dumps. And these two people are working together, and one was a liberal, a very liberal guy, and one was a Baptist pastor. And these two guys worked together, and they got along really well. And because they both had the same goal. And so they worked together helping these people in the dumps, you know, and doing whatever they could to help them and to get medical help. And they just spent their lives doing whatever they could to help these people. And usually my wife, she, you know, she can watch so much of that type of program back then and you know, whatever. And then she'd turn it to something else. I mean, once she gets the gist of it. And something she really liked was on, but instead she wouldn't change that channel. And we just watched this thing through. And it was the most heartwarming thing. And afterwards, we're sitting outside, sitting on the swing, and she says, you know what? She says, you really can't be conservative or liberal, can you? I said, no, not really. I said, not as a Christian. You know, not as somebody that follows Christ. You know, it's you know, politics is a worldly system, you know, a broken worldly system. And Jesus doesn't look at, you know, the policies and all of that kind of stuff. He looks at the heart, period. You know, and both of these guys had the same heart. You know, they were doing something. They were spending their lives to love the poor and to help the poor. And I'll tell you, my good friend would have been that kind of liberal any day, or that Baptist pastor any day.
Yeah.
Before any other kind of Christian, you know, and because that's what Jesus was all about. And so, quite some time ago, I became apolitical because it's not, you know, it's not that. And we don't know anybody that runs an office, anything. We don't know one thing about their life or anything. We don't
right.
know anything good or bad or whatever. And so a long time ago, I became apolitical. So it makes absolutely no difference. But if I had to be concerned about who was going to be in office, I'd pick a liberal any day that had a heart over a conservative, a pumped up, braggadocio conservative president any day. You know, and so, you know, I think that the whole thing has to be rethought by people that are all into this thing, you know, America under God, let's bring this nation back to God, not that it was ever under God.
Exactly.
You know, that whole thing has to be rethought. But not just that. That's a huge distraction. And these evangelicals are putting their whole faith. I think that I would be very surprised. Very surprised. I could be wrong. But I would be very surprised if there is a Republican in office. I'd be very surprised if Trump makes it when it really gets down to the brass tacks. And you know what? If I'm right, and I'm not predicting it, I'm just saying I'd be very surprised. If I'm right, I mean, do you know what it's going to do to a lot, how much they've put into this? You know, and their security, I mean, protected for, you know, their money, their safety, their, you know, their security, how much these politically minded evangelicals have put into this thing, and prayer, and God's going to put the right guy in office. Do you know how, what a crushing? And the thing is, if I'm right, it'll be there, they will have caused it.
Yeah.
They will have caused it because, you know, everybody, I mean, an article like this is coming out almost every several days, sometimes once a day. So, that I see an article by some, you know, Huffington Post or Salon or CNN or something about these evangelical Christians and this whole political scene. And it's like, you know, the whole world is beginning to be hated, not because of following Christ, but because they're not Christ-like.
Exactly.
They're being hated for hypocrisy. And so it's like, you know, they're losing all the way around.
Right.
And I think it's going to come down on their heads. Well, actually, one way or the other. Even if a Republican does make it to office, okay, and I'm wrong about that, you know, there's going to be stuff that's going to blow up, you know, blow up on me one way or the other.
Yeah.
They're bringing it down on their own heads, you know. And so their whole goal is off one way or the other, you know. And, you know, again, it's not the right thing to crow about that, but it's sad. It's very sad. And, you know, I know among them, you know, not, are people who genuinely love God and are just misled. You know, they run away in their head, you know. And I'm not excusing that because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So even if you're a genuine God lover, but you've gotten so totally distracted that you're going completely by your head and can't hear the Spirit and your life isn't showing love, then, you know, the person you could have been is not happening anymore. But I know that among them are people that love God, you know, and are just deluded in this whole thing. And so there's nothing to be happy about if things come apart for them. But it'd have to be said, they did it to themselves because instead of following Christ, they followed a religion and an ideology.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that's really happening right now is we're in an interesting season right now because I've seen that the world, you know, Christianity so often, like you said, there's that us versus them mentality. Oh, we have God, they don't, you know, kind of thing. And yet I'm seeing right now the world is more ripe for Christ than I've ever seen it before in my lifetime. And I was, you know, a little kid during the Jesus People movement, so I, you know, wasn't here for all that, but, you know, or really experienced that. But what I mean is I'm seeing there are more voices rising up for the victimized and the oppressed and the poor and the scapegoats and the outcast and for peace.
Right.
Than I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing voices for for minorities that are being outcast and not getting fair trials and chances at things. I'm seeing the voices for the immigrants and so if the church simply became like Jesus and actually started loving the outcast and the oppressed, and there would be a massive harvest.
Yeah.
It would happen so fast, and that's the problem, is it is so ripe right now, but when you stand up for those things, the religious are being so deceived that they accuse you of being part of a great falling away, because there's so many who are ripe that, you know, the view is it's always the minority. You know, it's funny how when election time comes, we need to have the majority, you know, they need to have majority. But then when their daily church talks from the pulpits and stuff, they always talk about how they're in the minority. But the truth is that when there's so many hearts that are so ready for this, the world hungers right now for justice. The world is so hungry to see God's justice. What I mean by that is to see the weak made strong, the oppressed lifted up, to have their burdens lifted, the outcast, the scapegoats, to be treated fairly and lovingly. And this is, I mean, just case in point, there's this series that came out on Netflix just recently. I don't know, David, have you heard of Making of a Murderer?
Making of a Murder. I don't think so.
There's this series that came out, and it's a documentary series. It's 10 parts long, and it focuses on this whole trial in Wisconsin. But the whole thing is that it shows how a family was scapegoated by the justice system. This whole community and everybody just scapegoated them, and they did not get justice at all. And it's inflaming people. It's going viral all over the country. It's being talked about on the Today Show and all this. And it's just what it's doing is, you know, that whole thing of everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It's exposing our legal system that we thought was so just and so fair. And it's going, no, justice is only for those who have a lot of money and who are looked upon fondly. You're tried in the media and if you're poor, you do not get justice. And it's just exposing it. And that's the whole thing, is the world is so ripe for this. And I think a lot of the anger out there is because people are looking for a voice, a people who will stand up and say, we're like, you know, a point was Martin Luther King Jr., you know, who said, that's enough. We're done. But we're going to do love. We're going to fight this with love. But I just read this quote today. It was by Martin Luther King, and our friend Michael Rose posted it. And I don't remember the exact quote, but it was – he said basically that love – justice is to put right anything that is not love. Not letting a poor – not taking care of a poor person or letting a poor person in your country is not love. So executing justice is to make that right, to not give a fair trial to somebody because they're a minority group or they're poor or for whatever reason. That's not justice. That has to be made right. You know,
that's good.
For somebody to go without food because they can't find a job, you know, is not right. That has to be made right. And that's the whole thing, is that we don't even know what justice is. And it's interesting because, you know, one of the favorite scriptures I would hear quoted all the time in church was to do what does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I don't think most Christians even know what that justice part of that verse even means. They think justly means, you know, going after the Nazis or going after the terrorists or, you know, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about putting right the things that aren't done in love. If you look at this country, you just look at what's not done in love.
Right.
And you just go, that's what needs to be put right.
Absolutely. That's a good statement to end on.
So I guess we'll end it there. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.